and welcome to Season 2 of Educators to Educators Podcast. I'm Carrie Conover, and this is Season 2, Episode 1, Creating Media in the Classroom. Today, I'm joined by Kevin Cornell, a.k.a. Mr. C., who is a creative and innovative educator, an Ohio lead PBS digital innovator, and creator of a new TV series called Full Steam Ahead. Kevin, welcome to E2E.
Hey, thanks, Carrie. Glad to be here.
Before we get started talking to Kevin today, I want to tell you about a couple of exciting initiatives that are happening here at Educators to Educators. First of all, if you have not become an E2E Insider, you need to sign up soon. E2E Insiders gain opportunities for free webinars and opportunities to make money outside of your classroom walls. I work with education companies to gather product feedback and run focus groups. As a matter of fact, I'm organizing a couple of focus groups right now that you get paid $25 for an hour of your time. You also can get free products, Amazon gift cards. So sign up to be an E2E Insider by going to www.conoverinnovativeconsulting.com. The second thing I want you to know about is a free webinar I'm hosting on February 21st titled Build Your Teacher Resume. I was a teacher for 10 years and then successfully exited the classroom and worked at an ed tech startup and another large education company. I've learned a lot about what it takes for an education company to look at a teacher's resume and actually hire them for work. So during this half an hour webinar, we're going to talk about the things you can do right now in your classroom to build and bulk up your resume to be attracted by education companies, education startups, to do contract work, part-time work, or possibly even full-time work. Finally, it's essential that you follow me on social media to learn about all of these opportunities to earn extra cash, listen to free and exciting webinars. So follow me on Facebook at Educators2Educators. Don't forget that's the number two. Or on Instagram at Educators2Educators, where you can find out about all of these E2E Insider opportunities. You can find all of these links in the podcast show notes. Let's get back to talking to Kevin. Here at the podcast, we focus on one topic related to teaching and learning, and do a deep dive into three areas within that topic. We want this podcast to be digestible and relatable to your real life in the classroom. Today, our topic of discussion is creating media in the classroom. And within that topic, we'll discuss three E's: embrace, engage, extend. Let's get started by hearing a little bit more about Mr. C. So Kevin, tell us about how you have got to where you are today in your career.
Absolutely. First and foremost, I'm a firm believer that education needs to be fun, innovative, and inspiring for kids. And so when I was a teacher many years ago, I was a fifth grade science classroom teacher, and we were doing some amazing things in the class and focus on guided inquiry, and we were doing PBL before it was called PBL. But most importantly, I was using music to integrate into my classroom because I wanted kids to be able to remember science concepts specifically, and I wanted them to be able to connect with them in a different way. And as you know, music is such a powerful tool. And so back then, I saw and identified really quickly that not just kids, but adults connect with music very easily in a fun and exciting way. And I said, man, I need to start using this in my class. So 16 years ago, I'm using music in the classroom. And over the years, I decided to create a YouTube channel. And then it kind of migrated into making videos and different content. And I wanted to have a worldwide audience. So when we talk about the three E's today, Carrie, it's going to be about embracing the technology, embracing media, engaging with the technology and engaging kids with that and being authentic. And then how do we extend ourselves beyond the classroom so that we actually are creating content for a worldwide audience?
And that is so amazing. And what I like about what we're going to talk about today is that if you're sitting here thinking like, I don't really even know what YouTube is or how to use YouTube, that's fine. We're talking more about just pushing yourself a tiny bit out of that comfort zone and really engaging your students with media. So I don't want you to turn off this podcast if you don't know what YouTube is, or you don't really understand how to use social media, we'll give you some tips and tricks to get started today. So let's get started with embrace. What do you mean by embrace?
So over the years, I've taught, I've worked with kids for 7 years in the classroom. I've been an administrator for 8 years, and now I'm actually an independent educator, and I go out and I do training with folks. And it starts with embracing what you want to focus on. And what I mean by embracing is that in order to create powerful learning experiences for kids, we have to embrace the fact that we need to be part of that change, part of that culture. And when we embrace new content, when we embrace technology or maybe a new innovative strategy, kids see what we're doing and they say, wow, my teacher's willing to try something new. I'm going to try it as well. And when we embrace something, it becomes who we are. It becomes something that we identify with. And so you can't just do something and hope it's going to turn out okay or turn out well. You have to be methodical and you want to embrace how you attack that. And so as an educator, you know, the first step is always that fear of failure. And I'm going to encourage everyone out there listening to embrace failure. You know, as a science teacher over the years, I've had the opportunity to work with students in the classroom in a guided inquiry setting, working on PBL, doing all of those things. And when I'm working with kids, it's important for us to show that failure is an option. But that means we ourselves have to embrace it. Teachers so often, and I think we can all relate to this, fear of failure is something that really motivates us, and not always in the best way, because when we fear failure, we stay in our comfort zone and we really stay focused on things that we think we're good at. And when we do that, we actually create an environment where we don't expect our kids to extend and do great things beyond what we're trying to actually learn. So by us embracing the idea that it's okay to fail, you know, that's an important thing. And, you know, I was a building principal for 2 years. And when I was a building principal, I had a rule, well, not really a rule, but more of like a mindset that, you know, we have two options for everything. Option one is we're going to get through this and it's going to be okay, right? So I would share that with my teachers. Option one is always we're going to get through this, it's going to be okay. So if you fail, get up and try again. I'm going to be there to support you. And option two was, we're going to get through this and we're going to be okay. So my goal was to inspire my teachers to be creative, innovative, and try new things. And if they failed, I would be there to support them. But more importantly, I had to have them embrace that idea that let's do something different. And that's kind of where the media jumps into all of this.
You know, media, Kevin, really quick, I really want to pause there for a second.
Sure.
I do think that resilience, we had an episode in season one about resilience with Sarita Bakuni, and it is phenomenal. She was a psychologist. And talking about resilience, and this goes back to resilience. If our children do not learn how to fail with grace and with integrity and with perseverance, the real world is going to be tough for them, right? So I really believe failure is important. And I also believe that if we as teachers admit that we failed or admit that something didn't go right, but talk through how we get through those things in our classroom, that makes us very authentic and genuine. And I think kids want teachers who are genuine. They feel more connected to them and they feel a responsibility to them, that, and then they are more engaged. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's myself as an educator. When I started doing music in the classroom, I really had this idea that it had to be perfect. And so I created all of these songs and my kids were singing them and doing all of these things with me in class. And, you know, it was always great to see my kids who were sitting there and during a test, you know, you could see them singing the song in their head and hearing the lyrics and doing that. And my kids would say to me, how do I get this outside of school? Like, where can I listen to your stuff outside of school? And so I created CDs. But the reality of it was, is my kids weren't living in a world of CDs. So it was really scary for me, and I was really nervous about it. And it took me a few years before I decided to jump onto YouTube, which is the online video platform that I use, to share my content. I was scared. I was fearful of failing and putting myself out there. But once I embraced it, I recognized really quickly that I'm showing my kids that you have to be willing to extend yourself and engage yourself in new content, in a new world, so to speak, in a new domain, in order for you to grow. And what I was looking for is a bigger audience and an ability to share the content that I love so much with other people who would also love that content. So, yeah, it's us showing kids and being that example is critical, because there's nothing more challenging than a teacher who is sitting there saying, I need you to go do this, but isn't willing to try it themselves. And so we have to be those role models for our kids, because, you know, when we do that, when we go out and online and do social media and engage with kids beyond the classroom, we're modeling so much more, you know, digital citizenship. We're modeling what it is to be a role model, where all of these things happen naturally when we embrace that and when we kind of get out of our comfort zone. But it leads directly into that second component, that engagement factor, you know, being authentic and showing kids who you genuinely are. Because if you fall in love with who you are and what you do, your kids are going to see that and they're going to fall in love with it as well. Because if you're passionate, it's just going to drive education so much differently than if you're just sitting there saying, oh, I have to do this because I have to do it. But if you love what you're doing, you engage with it so differently than if you are just doing the work.
No. I'm a teacher sitting here, and I've been teaching high school chemistry for 12 years. And I have my, you know, Common Core aligned or, you know, standards aligned binder or digital file on my computer. And I've taught a lot of the same lessons over and over. And I'm itching to innovate. I'm itching to make my lessons more engaging. But frankly, media scares me. What would you say to that teacher? They don't even know where to start.
So for a teacher who is really scared about jumping in and using technology, you know, there's the SAMR model. I'm not sure if the audience has heard about that, but the SAMR model stands for, it's S-A-M-R, and it's an acronym for substitution, augmentation, modification, and then redefinition. And basically, for the teacher who is super reluctant to jump into the world of media, you know, not everybody's going to be willing to jump out and create songs and videos and put themselves out there. But the first step of SAMR is to substitute. So if you are looking to find the hook for a chemistry lesson and you're trying to figure out a way to illustrate how explosive and combustible hydrogen is, maybe you don't want to create a video about blowing up a hydrogen balloon, but there are folks out there who create those for you. For example, I do that on my YouTube channel, Learning Science is Fun. So, you know, those are the things that people are out there doing it, but if you're not comfortable creating your own things, go find something that illustrates that. You know, help your kids to say, you know, I don't do this, but let's go out and find something. Or can you guys find something that would be a great way for us to connect what we're learning and have a great visual and a great illustration of that?
I think you make the kids the curators. If you're scared, then set up boundaries and rules. Go to the computer lab if you don't have computers, and you make the kids the curators. You say, I want you to find the best video on X, Y, and Z, right? Like, they can help you. Probably better. They can probably find things better than we could, really, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is the world they live in, right? They are digital moguls, and they run around on the internet, and they find anything and everything they need. And what's really important is when you're working with kids, and when I was working as a curriculum supervisor, I would go out and I would work with teachers to say, listen, I know you don't know how to use all of these things. That's okay. We're going to work a little bit at a time. But if you're uncomfortable with it, identify the experts in the room. And so we would create a chart and we put it on the wall. And then, for example, if it's a one-to-one room and you're using iPads, maybe there's a kid who's really good with GarageBand. Maybe there's a kid who's really good with iMovie. And those kids are the ones that we can lean on in the classroom when another person is stuck. So if you have this time and you're doing a project, a PBL project, and maybe they are creating videos and songs, you have these two kids in the room who are really good at this. Lean on them. It's normal, right? That's what we do in life. If we're not good at something, we go out and we try to learn it. And if we have a hard time learning about something, we find another expert who helps us identify some of those areas of weakness, and then we grow into that because we work with those folks. Your kids are no different. They want the opportunity to lead. Let's give it to them. And media provides that, and it's such an easy way to get kids exposed to leadership roles in the classroom.
So there's two kind of paths here that I see emerging as we're talking. One is a teacher who is really quite uncomfortable with the media, or maybe uncomfortable with putting themselves out there. And so it sounds like, you know, there's options for them to get started. There's definitely private YouTube channels where you could just create a video and you don't have to put it out there for the whole world to see. Maybe it's just for, you know, you record something and it's just for your classes at your school, right? So there's kind of that slow start track where you feel really comfortable. Let's talk about the teacher that's already making content and videos, but is really engaged. What recommendations would you give them to get their media out there?
Yeah, so and that's kind of where I think I fall myself. Like, I'm not the number one YouTuber out there. I wish I was, but I'm not. And so I'm working to grow my channel as well. But if there's a teacher out there who's creating songs and creating videos and has a passion to do that in that theatrical component to make learning bigger and better, you know, those people need to tap into the world where their kids exist. So Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, these are the places that kids are looking for content. So if we want to help control and help get our kids exposed to really good content beyond the classroom after they leave our doors in the building, we want to create those opportunities for them to be out there. So the teacher who has the content, you know, you probably already have a platform that you're sharing it on, and maybe it's set to private. Unlock it, unleash it, let other people see it and let people access it. So YouTube is a phenomenal platform. I use YouTube myself, and there's also Vimeo. And my belief is that if you're putting content out there and it's vetted and it's great and you know it's appropriate for schools and for multiple audiences, make sure you make it accessible. And so, you know, YouTube is this, I think, the second largest search engine behind Google or Twitter, right? So it's, how amazing is that? You put your content out there, you tag it, and now kids can find it. And so as an educator who is experienced in this, what are the ways to make it better? So is it Flipgrid? Is it creating little media challenges where then kids provide the video response? You know, what is it that your kids identify with? And not just your kids, but kids in general, because when we put things out onto the World Wide Web, it's no longer just for our audience of students who come to our school. What you're doing is you're actually building a worldwide audience, and that's really, really crucial.
So we've talked about embrace. So first of all, embrace this idea of using media in your classroom. And then two, be authentic and engage and either curate great videos and media for your classroom or create it yourself or have your students create it. Let's talk about this extend. How can you extend beyond the traditional school day?
So, you know, when I started looking at building this philosophy of Mr. C's three E's, so to speak, embrace, engage, extend. Embrace, connect with it. Engage, make something powerful and meaningful for kids. Extend is just that. It means that when we are authentic to ourselves and we create that content, extending beyond our classroom into the world where our digital native learners are is powerful. And when you do that, you know, having been a former HR director in a school district, I tell people, and this is advice for anybody, you're always on an interview. So when you put yourself out there, when you're extending your reach, make sure it's something that you can be proud of. Make sure it's something that your employer can be proud of today and in 10 years, because that's really critical, right? So extend your reach, go out there and make something really powerful. And I share this because I started my YouTube channel in 2009. And it took quite a while for me to grow my channel. You know, the first couple of years I had like, I remember getting 100 subscribers. I thought that was the best thing in the world. And,
I know, and that it was feeling just, owning a podcast, like I'm about to hit a really powerful number.
And you're right. Like when I first launched this, you think, oh, I'm just putting something out there, right? And then people start listening and watching, and it is so motivating to create more content, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so I got the 100, I'm like, yeah. And then I got the 1,000, I'm like, yeah. And now I'm rolling over to 7,000. And it's like, yeah, it's great because those people are coming back to see those things. And when you extend yourself, you provide opportunity for yourself as an educator and as a learner as well. And what I mean by that is I created all of this content, and I have like 30 plus songs. I have all sorts of slow motion videos. I have, you know, probably 70 to 80 experiments out there on YouTube. And in 2016, I applied to become Ohio's PBS Digital Innovator. And I got notification that I became Ohio's lead PBS Digital Innovator, which means there was 52 of us across the country selected. And we went to a summit, and we worked and collaborated with PBS at a national level, and it was amazing. And not just the national component, but I work really closely with my local PBS station, Think TV, here in Dayton, Ohio. If I hadn't extended myself, if I hadn't put myself out there, if I didn't embrace, if I didn't try to engage at this bigger level, some of the opportunities that I have today would not have happened. And so when I was doing those things, I didn't think about it like that. But because I did those things and because I wanted to be a role model for my kids and extend and show them, listen, this, if you, we want to do this, this is what it should look like. Doors have opened for me. And so, you know, you alluded to it in the opening is just recently back in November of 2017, we launched a new series called Mr. C's Full Steam Ahead. And basically it's a TV show that airs in Southwest Ohio on PBS Kids. And it's a 60-second science segment, well, STEAM segment, science, tech, engineering, art, and math. And it airs 8 times a day as an interstitial. So kids are watching TV shows, and after the show, during the commercial break, so to speak, here comes Mr. C with a science experiment. You know, that doesn't happen if you don't put yourself out there. It Yep. doesn't happen if you don't challenge yourself and if you don't overcome that fear. And so I never saw myself as a guy who's going to take over the world with digital media at first, you know, but now it's like, how do I reach more kids? How do I grow my audience? How do I extend even further? And, you know, one of the pieces of advice I'm going to share with everybody listening is, you know, if you're an educator, just make sure that everything you're doing meets your board guidelines in your school district. And I say that because having been an HR director, there's lots of board policy about what you can and can't share. And it's really important to be aware of that so that you don't put yourself in a position of doing something that could put, you know, what you're trying to accomplish in jeopardy.
And Kevin, I mean, you have a lot of amazing content out there, a lot going on. How can our listeners follow you, find you, access your content?
Yeah, so my content's all available on my website. It's called Learning Science is Fun, so www.learningscienceisfun.com. That's also my YouTube channel. And then, you know, if you have Facebook folks out there, my Facebook handle is @OriginalMrC. And also, that's my Twitter handle. So, you know, I have tons of content. I put out new content weekly, and that's for my audience because they're craving it, they're wanting it. And so, you know, if you want to hear some fun educational hip hop, math, and science songs, check out the website. It's there for everybody for the listening. And you know, I would love to get people's feedback as well because the best part is when other educators can use my content
Yep.
in their classroom as a lesson starter, as a break, a stretch break for kids to get up and dance a little bit and still being educational. You know, to me, that's a very valuable component. And the arts is something that's such a powerful thing that we need to really focus on more in every classroom around the country.
Great. Well, Kevin, or AKA Mr. C, I have loved talking to you today. You're so dynamic. You really are one of those people I like talking to because I do think that you've put yourself out there, and I'm all about getting out of your comfort zone. So, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I was glad to be here.
Gonna teach you about the triangle. Only have 3 sides. Triangle. 180 degrees inside. Triangle. So many many different types.
Triangles.
It's time to bust a rhyme.
So first, let's talk about the different sides. Equilateral, isosceles, and scalene types. When you look at them closely, almost like a different shape. It's all about the three sides, make no mistake. Equilateral. All sides are equal, so perfectly created it should be illegal. When you check it out, you're like,
they all look the same. La di di da di da equal, that's the name of the game.
And isosceles, like a nice tall tree. You'll find two equal sides, but never all three. It's like a little tower with a beacon above. The third side is different, yeah, I think I said enough. Lastly, scalene, a little wacky different. Each side a different length, and no, you're not tripping or slipping or falling, getting stuck on the shape. Scalene triangles have three different legs. So many types, and you need to believe that learning triangles is easy here with Mr. C. So everybody, it's time to join the flow. The chorus teaches nifty things about the triangles. Triangles only have three sides. Triangles 180 degrees in size. Triangles, so many different types. Triangles, it's time to bust a rhyme.
So next, we really have to recognize that each has 180 degrees inside, and the sum of the angles always adds up the same. Plus their angles give them different clever names. The acute ones first, snuggly cuddly bear. Every angle less than 9 degrees, but be aware, those angles may look small, but they pack the same big punch. When you add them all together, it's looking pretty tough. Obtuse, obtuse, the one angle's fairly large, greater than 90 degrees, thinking it's in charge. But when you realize it's part of the game, just add them up and then you'll see it's gonna be the same. Then the right, think I said enough. 190 degree angle and it's looking pretty gruff. Standing there showing off the box inside, which reminds the other triangles, it's always right. So many types, and you need to believe that learning triangles is easy here with Mr. C. So everybody, it's time to join the flow. The chorus teaches nifty things about the triangles. Triangles only have three sides. Triangles 180 degrees inside. Triangles, so many different types. Triangles, it's time to bust